What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the What Do They Know podcast, week 12. Nick and Jeff back with you as always, back fresh off of our road trip to Baltimore.
I wouldn't say fresh.
Well, yeah, maybe fresh is not the right word. That was a long day. Long day in the car, but yeah. I had a blast.
Yeah, shout out to you for driving the whole way and driving to and from. That's 12 hours of nonstop cruising that I'm glad I didn't do.
I'll tell you what, anyone who ever is contemplating driving from Rochester to Baltimore, 0 out of 10, don't recommend.
0 out of 10.
I don't know what it is about the route that Maps had us taking. Dude, we were on some freaking back road highways, like middle of nowhere, like, and all of a sudden it seemed like we popped out in Baltimore.
Every town,
dude, it was
that
so
is
weird.
Listed between here and Baltimore,
so we it was bizarre. It was the weirdest route in the world. Not a single major highway, no thruway, no turnpike, no nothing.
Right,
it was bizarre, but still had a blast. You know, Jets obviously lost, but it was I would call it a good competitive game for the majority of it.
Yeah, I regretted it the first quarter and a half.
It was
just a punt-a-thon. And then we started getting some action after that. I was like, okay, warming up too. I mean, thankfully it was, in the 50s and a little cloudy. Sun poked out every once in a while. But for the most part, we were good. It was definitely not that bad in terms of weather. So
windy.
Yeah, a little windy. No complaints, really. Food was good. Crab cake sandwich.
Yeah, when you go to Baltimore.
Yeah, that's what you're getting.
You gotta, unless you're me and you just get plain old chicken fingers.
The chicken tendies.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yep.
But, all right. Also, apologies for last week if anybody listened. We had some technical difficulties with our microphones that we did not know until after.
Yeah.
So if you listened, good on you, because it sounded like crap. Good for you. You deserve a t-shirt or top fan award or something.
Yeah.
Cause it didn't sound great. And I was pissed cause it was my fault.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. We move on. And like you said last week, we're doing way better than we did last year in terms of technical issues.
Yeah. I mean, year three, it's growth and experience.
Yeah, we're figuring it out. So won't make that mistake again though.
Right.
So, all right, let's jump right into it. We go over our top stories as always. What do you got?
All right, so my top story is the injury to J.J. McCarthy, his concussion. He's in concussion protocol right now. The only reason I bring it up is because this might be the deciding factor right now for the Vikings in general, if they're going to move on from J.J. McCarthy, which is crazy to say because he only has 6 games played. And it's just been a downward spiral ever since his comeback win week one. I mean, J.J. McCarthy has never looked right. Honestly, he doesn't look comfortable in Kevin O'Connell's offense. I feel like he's being confused by the coverages that any defense is throwing at him. I think he's thrown 2 interceptions at least in the past, ever since he came back from injury almost. But I mean, let me read you off his stats: 12 for 19, 87 yards passing, and two INTs. This past week, I mean, in an offense with Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, this is unacceptable, really, for J.J. McCarthy. So, I mean, Kevin O'Connell has his work cut out for him. I'm not sure there's a right answer to any of this. Obviously, your backup right now is an undrafted rookie in Max Prosper, straight out of Minnesota. I don't think they think that that's going to be the answer long term. Obviously, but maybe Max Brosmer surprises us. But right now, they have a quarterback situation that I'm not fully comfortable with for the Vikings. Shout out Jake. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry, bud.
But it's looking unfavorable. I mean, I looked at a graph earlier today on Twitter, and apparently he's bottom 5 in quarterback efficiency since 2016. He's joining the likes of Josh Rosen, Nathan Peterman.
Holy crap.
Buffalo Bills legend, Nathan Peterman.
Oh, my gosh.
And Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Sorry, who? Yeah,
Cleveland Browns, a fan favorite, obviously. So that is a terrible company to be around. Josh Rosen obviously isn't in the league anymore. I don't think Nathan Peterman is in the league. I know he stuck around for a while, but that's because he has the greatest agent of all time.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't know how that happened. And then Dorian Thompson-Robinson is in Philadelphia right now. So it is what it is, but that is not company you want to be around. Obviously, six starts is a small sample size. He was hurt all last year, probably focused on recovery. But, I mean, with the small sample size that we have now, it's just not looking good.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, you got to take it for what it is, like you just said, with the small sample size. But right now, as it sits, it really looks like the Vikings front office really jacked this up.
Yeah.
Letting Darnold walk and sticking with McCarthy. I think the most telling thing for me, and I'll be the first to admit, like, I don't watch a ton of Vikings games or a ton of McCarthy, right? But I've seen the reaction that's going around from Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Where he's now finally starting to show the frustration, and that's not good.
Yeah.
I think when you encounter your superstar getting frustrated, that's only going to lead to bad things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like you said, I don't think that this backup is going to come in and McCarthy's all of a sudden going to get Wally pipped and never see the field again.
Right.
But, you know, they're in a very precarious situation, and, you know, the eye test, he just doesn't look, he's got a very strong arm, and that's about all I can say. Like, when the ball flies out of his hand, I'm like, man, he's got a really strong arm. But besides
that, he overthrows a lot.
He does.
That's the problem.
He does. Yeah. 100%. But I don't know. I'm really curious to see what happens. Maybe we need to get with Jake again and get another
honest assessment.
Yes. Another honest assessment, because the last one, he was calm, cool, collected.
Let's see.
Really curious to see if that's still the case.
If the patience is running a little dry with our buddy, yeah. Jake. But yeah, I mean, it's tough goings, tough waters, with being in concussion protocol right now. I mean, do you want to rush him back when they face Seattle this week? My answer would probably be no. Just put Rosmer out there and let him rip, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if McCarthy facing that Seahawks defense is going to do anything to bode well for his confidence at the stage he is now. They do have a little bit of easier route. I think they face the Giants, the Lions,
yeah,
further down the road. But the Seahawks game coming up, I think this is a take a step back, get your mind right. Obviously, concussions can come in all sorts of fashions. CJ Stroud obviously has sat out two games, I believe, with a concussion, and sometimes you can clear protocol a day or two afterwards. But for JJ McCarthy's sake, and probably Kevin O'Connell's well-being, I think you should just be like, calm down, JJ McCarthy. I'm going to give you this game. We'll put you out there next week.
Yeah, I feel like if you have the Seahawks defense in fantasy football, you're feeling pretty good about this upcoming matchup.
Start them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
And then my second top story is the NFC South division race, because in our bad episode or unmiked episode last week, I talked about Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
And how fringy he is to me as an NFL head coach. So right now Tampa's at 6-5, and they're tied for first place with Carolina.
Who plays tonight.
So that's going to be an episode in itself, because having the talent that Tampa does, I find it incredibly insane that Carolina is right there with them atop of the division. But, I mean, Baker Mayfield, he's been making the team go, but he's suffered a AC joint sprain in his left shoulder.
Yeah, he looked like he was hurting last night.
Yeah, it seems to not be too serious. Apparently, it's a low-grade sprain. So we'll see if he plays this upcoming week. If not, it'll be a Teddy Bridgewater fill-in. But, I mean, honestly, if you're Tampa, I'm worried for Tampa, because it's been looking like they don't really have a clear-cut identity, really. I mean, ever since Mike Evans and Chris Godwin has kind of looked like a shell of himself. And Igbuka, first half of the year, he looked like a stud.
Yeah.
But ever since Mike Evans kind of went down, he's gotten the front load of the coverages scheming towards him, and it just has not looked good overall. So, and honestly, their running game has kind of looked lost without Bucky Irving as well.
I was just going to say, it all seems to correspond with when Bucky Irving got hurt.
Yeah.
Not that he's like the answer to everything, but yeah, the timeline, I mean, he's missed what, three or four games now, and they're on a three-game losing streak.
No, it's more than coincidence on that one, for sure. I think he definitely stabilized that running game. Rashad White and Sean Tucker, they've had their moments.
Sean Tucker, for sure. Tucker had a great game last week.
But overall, it's just not enough to overcome the defensive woos that Tampa Bay is suffering right now. I think they're ranked 25th in points per game allowed as a defense. That's uncharacteristic for a Todd Bowles defense, I feel like. But at the same time, as I said, I am very skeptical of Todd Bowles' ability to lead a football team as a head coach. Not as a coordinator, but as a head coach.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, injury or no injury last night, they got worked.
Yeah.
Like, even if Baker was 100%, the Rams just completely handled them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just said they're on a three-game losing streak. They do not even remotely resemble the team that started the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what... I mean, you know, injuries always play a part, but Baker doesn't even look like the same guy.
Yeah.
So, it's disappointing because, obviously, we're both big Baker fans.
Mm-hmm.
But... The NFC South, if you were to sit here last year or the beginning of the season and say that week 12 the Panthers are going to be on a Monday Night Football game playing for first place, I would have slapped you. Like, there's just no way.
Yeah, right? No, absolutely not.
So we'll see. I mean, I think I told you this last week or the week before. I don't know what the NFL schedule makers were thinking when they scheduled the Panthers at the Niners Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But shoot, they got it right.
Apparently they knew what they were doing.
7-4 versus 6-5. So on paper, it's a good matchup.
Yeah.
And we'll see what ends up happening, but it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Carolina has much more of an identity than Tampa Bay does right now. I mean, obviously, Bryce Young has his limitations. So you compensate with the running game. And they have Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard there to carry the load there. And those are two very capable running backs. And, I mean, Bryce Young obviously isn't going to light the world on fire.
Did last week.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. But 14 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions, 2-1 ratios. That's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
I mean, Bryce Young is holding it down as a game manager. And if he needs to throw the ball, then he will. But I feel like the Panthers overall, they have a better defense, and I feel like they have an identity on offense. So I honestly, at this point, I'd be I don't want to call the Panthers have the clear-cut way to win the division, but honestly, looking at them head-to-head, it almost feels like Carolina has the upper edge on Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, which, again, is just baffling. It's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of divisions that all of a sudden are up in the air.
Yeah.
One of them I'll get into here in a little bit. But, yeah, looking at the standings today, I'm like, man, I could see that division changing. I could see that division changing. I think I counted like 4 or 5 divisions where it's very realistic that who's in first place now may not finish in first in the division.
Yeah, there's a lot of
competitive. And the South is a prime example.
Yeah, there's not a lot of runaway clear-cut winners like Buffalo and the Chiefs, you know, in the someone from the AFC North would always take off. And, you know, it's fun to look at as a fan. But, I mean, it's just crazy. It's hard to predict what these teams are going to do, especially with the Panthers. I mean, whenever they lose, I feel like they just get blown out of the water.
Yeah. When they lose, they lose,
they
man.
Lose that.
Golly.
Yep.
That's funny.
But, yep, those are my top stories.
Awesome. So, Cowboys are back.
Stop it. That's an overreaction. This is top stories we're talking about.
No. All kidding aside, we were driving home last night, and we may or may not have been watching football the entire drive.
Yep.
And we were watching the Cowboys, and when they ended up pulling away, I said, man, social media is going to be unbearable tomorrow. Like, it's just going to be like, the Cowboys are back. Are they going to overtake the division?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
We're just making
that.
Headlines. Yep.
So that was, you know, obviously a joke, but I do think that yesterday was a really big win and a really impressive win for them.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not only the fact that it was the Eagles, you know, the division rival, the Super Bowl champs, but they were down 21-0.
Yeah.
And it was like, holy smokes, like they're going to get worked.
Yeah.
And then they showed a ton of resilience. Say what you want about Jerry Jones. Say what you want about the defense. They only gave up 21 points. They had 2 takeaways. I think they had at least 1 sack on Jalen Hurts. So I do think that the personnel moves that Jerry made are paying dividends. Quinn and Williams, my boy, had another huge game yesterday, mm-hmm. an impactful game. I mean, it seems like this fresh start for him has just been, you know, a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
But I think that was a really big win for the Cowboys to kind of spring them towards the back half of the year.
Yeah, it could be defining 100% for them.
100%. I think they're the 10th seed right now, so they still have some teams to jump, but yeah. I want to say they're 5-5-1 and the 7th seed is 7-4.
Yeah.
So it's doable.
Right. Yeah, no, especially with that offense. If the offense can click with George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, obviously CeeDee Lamb had a kind of a bad drop,
yeah,
so to speak, yeah, in the end zone, but I mean, CeeDee Lamb is still one of the more reliable targets in the NFL. So, to me, as long as the defense can play even average, league average, I mean, you're looking potentially at a Cowboys team that can make a run for it. Obviously, the Philadelphia has had its own share of struggles, both mentally and on the field,
yeah,
in the locker room and whatnot with A.J. Brown. But, I mean, overall, to let this slip away, I almost worry about their psyche and how that's going to go forward. That's a whole other conversation to be had. But in regards with the Cowboys, I mean, there's just not much you can say about this win. This could be this can turn their season around to lead for a playoff push.
Yeah, for sure. And I obviously the story is about the Cowboys, but I did want to touch on the Eagles of it all.
Okay,
because what is going on?
I don't know.
Dude, it is the weirdest. Like, they don't run the ball.
No.
Saquon ran for, 2,000 yards last year?
Offensive player of the year?
He had 10 attempts.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts was their leading rusher.
Yeah.
And you know, I was preparing for the show. I was writing all, you know, all these stats down and just looking and reading articles and stuff that people were saying. And it's like, and I didn't see this anywhere, but I had this moment where I was like, is it just as simple as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Like out with Kellen Moore. Obviously, he moved on to New Orleans. And
which is weird because Kellen Moore doesn't really run the ball in New Orleans either.
That's true.
You're so I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, he did last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he knew Saquon was his guy.
Correct. Is it just that simple? I mean, I don't know. But it's baffling.
It's
literally baffling because it seems like they are trying their damnedest to be a team that they're just not.
Right.
They want to pass the ball so bad, and that's not how they are successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling to me, and I can only imagine being an Eagles fan and seeing what you saw last year and then seeing this. Like, I think I would lose my mind.
Yeah,
because it just makes zero sense. And why can we all as fans identify that this is an issue,
right,
but the Eagles continue to play the way that they do and force Hurts to throw? It just makes no sense.
I mean, you have to wonder how much the change in philosophy is affected by A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith maybe being unsatisfied with the role in the offense. Obviously, Barkley got his flowers last year, and they got the ring out of it. I mean, what more could you want? I mean, to me, that's the ultimate goal, but obviously there's characters out there that have a little bit more of a personal vendetta against that they want to achieve. With the A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, I mean, it's just hard. It's a fine line to walk, and they did it last year. But if you're not even going to attempt to run the ball, you're not opening up your play action. You're not allowing A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith that extra step of separation. You're just setting yourself up for failure. And honestly, this yesterday was defining to me in terms of where the Rams and the Eagles are at, because they both jumped out to 21-0 leads, and as you saw with the Rams,
they put it away.
Yeah, they stepped on the throat of the Buccaneers, and it wasn't even a game. Whereas the Eagles, they allowed that game to slip away. There's no reason that they shouldn't have scored at least three more points on a Cowboys defense that was reeling, and has been reeling for the majority of the year. So to be shut out after they put up the first 21 points, so that's crazy to me. But at the same time, I mean, we did talk about them imploding earlier in the year.
Yeah.
This might be the actual mine, the landmine that might overstep the whole Philadelphia Eagles potential dynasty there.
Yeah, I mean, it's
they
crazy.
Look so good early in the season, and their defense comes to play every week. It's just their offense is just it pulls a Houdini every week.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yep, and then my next one is a game that probably a lot of people have forgotten about by now because it was on Thursday, but the Texans.
Mm.
The Texans defense, dude, holy smokes.
What was it, I know, 8 sacks?
Dude, I know I went on and on and on about how Seattle's defense is so good, which they are, but the Texans, I feel like, is the defense that nobody talks about. I mean, so Josh Allen looked like a shell of himself. 24 of 34, 253, no passing touchdowns. I don't think he had a rushing touchdown either, and two picks.
Mm.
And then their defense as a whole, like you said, they had 8 sacks, 2 picks, and a fumble yeah. recovery. So that defense was I feel like the word swarming is overused a lot, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
They were swarming all over Josh Allen and everybody. I mean, it's just very, very impressive the fact that they've now won 3 in a row with their starting quarterback being out.
Yeah, David Mills is leading the charge.
Yeah, and he didn't light the world on fire, but he didn't have to.
Yeah, no.
You know, I mean, so it was a very, very impressive win, and I can't wait to see what they do against the Colts this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a very fun game. Obviously, the Colts let one go against the Chiefs in Kansas City. Texans are flying high right now and coming off a win against Buffalo. I mean, they are definitely one of those teams where, like the Cowboys, or like Philadelphia, I should say, you never know what offense is going to show up.
Yeah.
But if they put up points, at least, you know, 3 offensive touchdowns, you have a real shot of winning that game, because that defense is for real. That defense is not going to allow a lot of passing yards on you. I think it was James Cook that scored kind of a long touchdown.
One. Yep.
So he broke one. But overall, that Texans defense is for real. They're definitely a top 5 defense, along with the Rams and Seahawks. They're all in that elite category for me. It just depends if you get C.J. Stroud healthy and the rookie C.J. Stroud back.
Yeah.
If that version of C.J. Stroud comes back, watch out for the Texans. That might be a team to watch for in the playoffs, because that defense is can play with anybody.
I think if they get in, they are a team that nobody wants to play.
Oh, absolutely not.
So we'll see what happens. But like their defense is literally going to keep them in every single game.
Absolutely.
So I mean, kudos to them. And they're an exciting, fun team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Again, speaking of fantasy, look at the Texans' schedule on who they play the weeks of fantasy playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dude. I can't remember. It's like some really bad teams. Some really bad teams. So okay. Pick up the Texans defense if they're available.
Gotcha.
All right. Let's go to overreactions.
All right.
What do you got?
I got one, and it's a fun one. I think you'll like it.
Love it.
All right. Jameis Winston should get another opportunity to start in the NFL.
Oof.
The man is 31 years old.
Yeah.
He's thrown as many touchdown passes as he has interceptions, which is 2 for 2. I mean, but he's thrown for 567 yards in 2 games. That's pretty good for, you know, spot start, third string quarterback. This is the man that I feel like as soon as you sign him, he will light that locker room.
Yeah.
Ignite that locker room on fire, because that man's personality is something that just rubs off on everybody. And it just elevates everybody's, you know, camaraderie. Winston is the type of man that you want in your locker room. I feel like we all kind of viewed him as you know, the oddball when he first came in the league. Like, you know, that's an odd dude.
100%.
In a league with like a macho man sort of mentality, but the dude's just a goofball, and I feel like he's won everybody over. And honestly, I mean, he's not going to be the greatest quarterback of all time or anything, but I mean, if you put him with a defense that that locks down an opposing offense, I mean, you have potential for one of the greatest scoring offenses of all time. Like, you had him Tampa Bay, like, what was it, like 30 TDs, 30 interceptions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'll make the game fun for any fan base, I feel like.
It's crazy. So I think that I feel like he has done a complete 180 from how he was viewed in college and the first few years in the pros.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he was almost viewed as like a villain. Like, people didn't he steal crab or something?
Crab legs
or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
in school. And then when he first got to Tampa, obviously he threw all those picks. He was like a walking meme. I feel like everybody loved to make fun of him, and now he's like everybody's favorite person.
Yeah,
like anybody you talk to, I love Jameis Winston. He's hilarious. He's awesome.
Yep.
People
can't wait for him to retire so he could do like a podcast.
Oh my
gosh. Pat McAfee or
something. Yes, he's going to be gold in the media when he finally gets there.
Yep.
He's going to be awesome. I think he will continue to get. I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, I want you to be QB1.
No, bridge quarterback sort of situation, huh?
I mean, I guess maybe, but...
I would. That's just me.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you find the right scenario, you know, the Jets next year, for example, come to mind, they're probably going to have somebody be a bridge while they develop whoever they end up drafting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess if you look at it that way, I guess maybe it's not an overreaction, but like you have to really know what you're signing up for.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as like you have to be okay with turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, and just, you know, taking the bad with the good that comes, because there's going to be a lot of it.
Yeah, I feel like he's a rich man's Jake Browning.
Yeah.
Back when Jake Browning, like, he would sling the ball. Yeah, but obviously Jake Browning has his interceptions outweighed his TDs this year by far. But Jameis Winston as a whole, you know what to expect from him. But at the same time, you know he can sling the ball with the best of them. I enjoy Jameis Winston's personality overall. But as a quarterback, I feel like he deserves an opportunity, okay, at least.
He'll probably get one. You're probably right.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Love it. Is that it?
That's it. That's it for my overreaction.
So Shedeur Sanders is going to be the week one starter for the Browns next year.
Ooh.
He is going to continue to build off of this week since he finally got first team reps, and he will be QB1.
I'm trying to make a decision here.
He's going to be QB1 next year. Week one. Not saying he's the quarterback of the future. I'm not saying he's going to be the guy they ultimately go with. I think he's going to be the week one guy, though.
I can see it. I don't think it's an overreaction.
Also, side note, I've come to actually kind of enjoy him a little bit as a person. Talk about doing like a transformation. I felt like he was maybe a little bit of a punk in college. Yeah. And I feel like the NFL and his situation has kind of like humbled him a little bit. And he's saying all the right things. He's like the media is trying so hard to get him to say something stupid or to make the situation worse. And so far he hasn't done that. I've been really impressed with his responses and obviously impressed with how he looked yesterday. You got to take it for what it is. It was, you know, a very bad Raiders team.
Yeah.
His numbers weren't bad. He was 11 of 20. So, you know, high completion percentage, but he had over 200 yards with those 11 completions. He had one touchdown, one interception.
Yeah. And 150 plus yard bomb that almost had a second TD written all over it.
So he has a really strong arm. He made some really good throws. Mm-hmm. So I mean, who knows? I'm really, you know, they already said today he's going to continue to start.
Yep.
So we'll see how he does. This week will be a really big test against a much better San Francisco team.
Oof, yeah.
So we'll see. But I think he could, if they, I think I'm starting to buy into the whole Kevin Stefanski like hates him rumors that are out there. Because, you know, guy's first start, he wins his first game, and in the post game press conference, you don't give him a game ball, you don't celebrate him, you don't make a mention of it. Like it's odd. That was really odd to me. That was the first time where I was like, okay, maybe these people that are, you know, swearing that Stefanski has it out for him, maybe they're onto something, because that just seemed off to me that he wouldn't celebrate that.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I feel like the NFL as a whole kind of has a thing against Shedeur Sanders. But honestly, I feel like he's done his time.
Yeah.
I mean, he started off as the third string quarterback, start the season. Obviously you were competing in a room with five other quarterbacks or whatever it was. But Shedeur Sanders, he's done his time. He's worth his reps. So he deserves this opportunity. Unfortunately the media has a knack nowadays to, you know, try to poke the bear and try to get a reaction out of it. That's how they create, you know, their clickbait articles these days, unfortunately. But for Shedeur, there's nothing he's saying that's wrong. He's remaining confident, but he's threading that, he's walking that line of, you know, it doesn't sound arrogant anymore. Yeah. Whereas when he came out of college, it seemed like it was more, you know, he's already earned it because of his time in college or because of Deion, instead of working for it once he became an NFL quarterback. So to me, overall, Shedeur Sanders, it's his time to shine. Obviously, the Raiders have their own struggles, and the Niners are definitely going to be a different sort of level of competition for him. So this will definitely be a challenge to watch. But I mean, I don't understand why a lot of teams don't do this whenever they switch quarterbacks. They set them up for success by facing the Raiders, to be honest with you. Like that is a defense that isn't really built to really overthrow an offense, to be honest with you. Unfortunately, Vegas has their own set of issues, and Shedeur Sanders exploited some of them. So to me, whether he's going to be the week one starter of next year, it'll be interesting to see, because I don't think Stefanski is going to survive this year.
I don't think so either.
It's going to be a whole new coach he has to impress in that regard. And I mean, with that 50 plus throw that he had on the run,
that was an impressive throw.
Yeah, he's impressing any coach that wants to come in there. And it just depends what they do with the first round pick. I mean, if you draft a quarterback, then you have a QB competition, but I mean, you know how we feel about quarterbacks that are coming in. Give them some time. But Shedeur Sanders, I agree with it. I think he should be the QB one starting next year.
Okay. He dropped a banger of a mic drop yesterday. Before the game. I don't know if you saw it, but they interviewed him, the sideline reporter for CBS. I don't know who it was. And she was like, asked him a bunch of questions, which he answered fine. And then she said, "What are you looking to show the fans of Cleveland?" Mm-hmm. And he paused and he just looked at the camera and he goes, "That I'm the guy they've been looking for." And he just walked off. I was like, dude, that was a banger of a line. That was a good one.
So
I'm excited for him. All right, my last one. The Colts are not going to win the division.
Oh, Texans, huh?
I don't know. I think Jaguars. It could be either the Jags or the Texans.
I don't know about the Jags. I'm not sold on the Jags at all.
But so, you know, they've lost two out of their last three. Mm-hmm. They escaped in, what was it, Berlin against the Falcons. I was looking at their schedule. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This is to finish out the season. Mm-hmm. So this week they have the Texans at home. Then they're at the Jags. At the Seahawks,
oof.
49ers,
oof.
Jags, at Texans.
So divisional opponents plus
the NFC West.
Plus the NFC West.
That's brutal.
That's pretty rough.
Those are winning records. Mm-hmm. What are the Texans? 5-5?
They're 6-5.
6-5, right? Are they? Yeah. So, I mean, those are plus 500 teams to finish out the season.
Yeah.
That's really tough. And I feel like they should have won the game against the Chiefs. Obviously, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. They found a way to claw back and win. But they just haven't looked quite the same team the last two or three weeks.
Yeah. So you said they had the Jags twice and the Texans twice?
Correct.
Okay. So obviously those are going to be the game defining, the division defining moments right there.
And that's why I think it literally could be either team.
Yeah. And I mean, they have a game lead over the Jags, and they have a two-game lead over Houston, so that works in their favor. But I mean, having those NFC opponents right there sandwiched in between them, that's rough. Obviously, you're thankful that it's not the Rams in there. But still, the San Francisco 49ers are not an easy out.
And they got to go to Seattle.
And then to Seattle. Ooh, that's rough. I mean, I can totally see someone sneaking up. It's just, I have no confidence in the Jags to do that.
I think I still lean towards pretender for them.
Yeah.
Even though apparently they leapfrogged the Bills this week, which is baffling for me to think about. But.
Right. And then Houston, I mean, that's a two-game lead. So they have to at least win. Honestly, I'd probably say they have to sweep that series against the Colts.
The Texans, you think so?
Yeah. To gain that upper edge.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's an overreaction, but it's going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they play, I feel like the Colts should at least split with both those teams, at least.
But yeah.
That's just my opinion.
If I were to pick, I would say it would be the Texans.
Split with the Texans.
Just because of they're going to the Texans have the ability, if I had to pick either the Jags or the Texans to leapfrog the Colts, I would pick the Texans just simply because of their defense.
Yeah, the Texans were the 7-4 team instead, and the Jags were the 6-5 team. I'd probably be like, yeah, you know what? I think the Texans are going to jump them.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that two-game lead is kind of it's a little rough to overcome.
Yeah, so we'll see. I that's one of the divisions that all of a sudden I'm like, hey, like that's all of a sudden, which is crazy because weren't they, 8-1, 7-1 when they made that trade for Sauce?
I believe so.
Like, looking good, looking like the one seed.
Yeah. Inside and track.
Yeah, not so fast.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump over to our MVP watch. Do you have any changes this week?
Yeah.
I do.
I do.
Okay, love it.
I do. Matthew Stafford is overtaking the number one spot.
Boom.
For me.
People are finally starting to jump on the bandwagon with me. I don't know if you saw on social media today, we got a tag from one of our best listeners, Joe Rogers.
Joe Rogers.
Who he and I have gone back and forth on social media in the last couple weeks over the MVP. Truthfully, he's what inspired this whole MVP watch subject. Hey, because
shout out Joe.
Yeah, shout out Joe. But he tagged us today and said, you know what, Nick, you might be right. It looks like, you know, Stafford may end up being the MVP. And I don't know how you anybody can argue.
Who was he on board with?
He was under the Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, was he
conversation? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, Jonathan Taylor had a subpar game against the Chiefs. The Chiefs defense, they know how to stop the run. I mean, I think it was like what 15 carries for 60 something yards. It wasn't anything to write home about. It was very uncharacteristic numbers for Jonathan Taylor this year. But Stafford, I mean, he's putting otherworldly numbers up there. 30 touchdown passes, two interceptions. That's efficiency that's not really heard of. And this is going up there as one of the best QB seasons since, like, Aaron Rodgers in 2011. Whenever you look at QBR and QB ratings, these sort of efficiency stats are what dictate, because you're not turning the ball over, you're not putting your team in predicaments that they can't afford to. And I mean, it's self-explanatory why the Rams are 9-2 and have the headway to be the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, and so that ratio 30-2 is already crazy.
Yeah,
but he's since his last interception, he's thrown 27 touchdowns.
Yeah,
since his last one, he hasn't thrown. That's insane.
Yeah,
like, and you know, we talked about the Bucs defense. Like, every game I watch, whether it's the Bucs, whether it's even Seattle, like, they just, Matthew Stafford is literally surgical.
Yeah,
he just carves through those defenses. Like, I have not found a defense that looks like they have an answer for him.
Yeah,
so it's incredibly impressive to me.
No, there's no superlatives for Matthew Stafford that we haven't already said. The guy's amazing. The guy's incredible. He's having a career year at the age of 37. He's aging like fine wine right now. And honestly, he looks like he can play for another 5 years if he wants to.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep. And then number three, I still got Drake May.
Okay.
So he's still rounding out the over there. I mean, he's leading the league in passing yards, which is probably a surprise to you, maybe.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it comes to passing yards and all that, it doesn't trump the efficiency that Stafford has right now. And then the importance that I feel like Jonathan Taylor, because if he had a better game, the Colts probably pull that one out. But
yeah,
it is what it is. But Matthew Stafford is just having probably one of the top five QB seasons that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so I took, you know, Josh Allen obviously fell off my top three after a brief stint at number three after his rough game. But honestly, for me, I didn't even write a third name.
This is
it's a two man race for me between Stafford and JT. And right now, obviously, Stafford is my runaway favorite. Like, something, he would have to get injured.
Oh,
like, for him to not win the MVP in my eyes, he would have to get injured and miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Like, something crazy, because I just don't think that you can overtake the way that he's playing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor has to, like, have a 5 TD, 6 TD game or something.
Yeah.
Or Matthew Stafford has to have, like, a 4 interception, 0 touchdown game or something.
Yep.
But yeah, Stafford right now is just the man right now. There's just no denying it. Obviously, Drake May is leading a very surprising Patriots team to maybe an AFC East title potentially. But to me, I agree with you. It's a two-horse race right now.
Okay. All right, power rankings. Any shakeups this week?
Absolutely. With the Colts losing, they dropped a couple spots. I basically just flipped the Rams and the Colts. Rams are my number one team right now. Patriots stay idle at two. Colts at three. Broncos with the bye week stay at four. And then number five, I got the Seahawks. I think they're just impressive enough to be up there. No, there's no other team that really. I mean, the Eagles obviously have their faults. It might be a while before I put them on here again. But the Seahawks, I feel like they have everything flowing. Yeah, but yeah, it's the Rams division to lose on that one.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, tied it up. Let's go.
Look at you watching the Syracuse
game. Let's go.
Look at you.
Dude, they were just down 11 points with like 4 minutes left. We should be watching football. We're watching college basketball right now.
Right.
Syracuse and the number three team in the country just tied it up. Dude, what a 11-0 run.
Look at that. Houston Cougars.
Dude. Syracuse pulls this out, I'm going to lose my mind. All right. Let me compose myself. So, number one, I kept the Rams.
Right.
No shock there.
Right.
Obviously, the Colts took a fall. The Eagles took a fall.
Yeah.
So, number two, I moved Seattle back up to number two.
Okay.
They were number two for me 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then they only fell to number five after their loss. So, I brought them right back up. These next two, man, I really have a problem with.
Broncos and Patriots.
Correct. In that order. But I feel like I can't be taken seriously if they're not on this list.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't have faith in either of them.
I can see why.
So it's a real struggle for me.
Yeah.
It's a real struggle for me. So Broncos 3, Patriots 4, and then Colts 5. So I kept the Colts in my top five.
Okay.
Right now, even though I feel like I'm contradicting myself with saying that they're on like a downward spiral, but you know, it's a small sample size.
Yeah. I mean, every good team might have skid like this every once in a while. I mean, I feel like the Colts would rather have this skid now than later in the year and just
correct.
Be backpedaling as a playoff now.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So breaking news.
Oh no.
I went 2-1 last week.
What?
I went 2-1 on my picks.
Who'd you pay off?
So, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
That's who I paid off.
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. He needed an extra buck for me. I should have gone back and looked. I think this is the first time I had a winning record in our picks since maybe like week two or week three.
Oh.
Possibly even all year. Legitimately. I'm not even trying to be funny.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, thank you. It was a big day for me. Just a recap. So my one that was just absolutely horrible, I don't know what I was thinking, was my lock was the Saints over the Falcons.
I told you Kirk Cousins kills.
So that was a disaster.
Yep.
And then Cowboys over the Eagles for my upset, and then Rams over the Bucks for game of the week.
The Cowboys pull it out for you. They came back, and then look
yeah.
at you.
Yeah. Thank you, Cowboys.
Thank you, Cowboys.
We know boys.
Oh, man.
Right.
Now I know why the Cowboys were your top story.
Yeah. Hey-o. All right.
Well, I also went 2-1 last
okay,
week.
Okay, good for what you. What else is new?
What else is new? I had the Jags over the Cards. 2.5-point spread there. They won by 3. Look at that. By a field goal. And then Colts over the Chiefs. Colts blew it. That was upsetting. And then I also had the Rams over the Bucks.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so this week, my lock, I'm taking the Broncos over the Commanders. I don't know why I'm taking the Broncos again.
I lack confidence in the Broncos, but I'm locking it in.
So they're playing a backup quarterback.
Marcus Mariota.
And they have, you know, an amazing defense. So they got to win by a touchdown, which makes me a little nervous because their offense, I know. They're minus 6.5. So I took the Broncos over the Commanders as my lock. I'm running it back. I'm taking the Cowboys over the Chiefs as my upset. Chiefs are minus 3 in Dallas.
Okay.
Get that rebound. Get that rebound.
They got it.
20 seconds. Oh, my God. They're going to get the last shot. They're going to get the last shot? Jeff, I'm going to lose it, dude.
They're not going to call timeout either.
Nope.
No timeout.
10, 9, 8.
Oh, boy.
You better do something.
Oh. Hezzy. Oh, come on. You got
nothing.
Locked.
What a horrible. They didn't even get a shot off.
No. Well, at least you're taking them in overtime.
It's disappointing.
At least we can wrap this up. And then
golly.
Stress-free.
All right. Time. So, Cowboys over the Chiefs as my upset. Mm-hmm. Chiefs are minus 3. I think the Cowboys are going to have a ton of momentum coming off of this week. And then I'm also, our game of the week, I'm kind of taking momentum here as well.
Okay.
So our game of the week is Black Friday, Bears and Eagles. I'm rolling with the Bears.
You're rolling with the Bears?
I'm rolling with the Bears. Eagles are 7-point favorites,
yeah.
But I'm rolling with the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears are flying high right now. They just find ways to win, which is crazy to say for the Bears.
It is. It's baffling that they just, the fact that they're 8-3, I can't wrap my mind around it.
Neither can I.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. But my lock, I'll start off with my lock. I have the Seahawks over the Vikings, 10.5-point favorites as of right now. I mean, obviously, it's a giant spread, but, I mean, whether it's J.J. McCarthy or Max Brosmer starting, I feel like the end result's going to be the same. I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
And then my upset, I got the Packers or the Lions.
That's curious to me.
It's a heavyweight duel. The Lions just won right now, last week, but they barely escaped the Giants. And the Packers, they are one of those teams that are definitely up and down.
Yeah.
And, you know, a mystery. You never know what sort of Packers team you're going to get. So we'll see where they're at. I mean, it's divisional rivals. You know the defenses are going to come out to play. We'll just see if the good version of Jordan Love comes out. And then my game of the week, I mean, we hype up the Bears, and, you know, Caleb Williams is having one heck of the year. Eagles, who knows what road they're rolling with right now. So I'm with you. I'm going with the Bears.
Really? I thought for sure you would take the Eagles.
I wanted to.
Okay.
But honestly, I look at everything, and I the Bears are just, like, winning me over almost. Yeah. Like, Ben Johnson.
Dude.
I don't know what he's cooking over there in Chicago, but he is the man.
Yeah.
There's all my questions have been answered of why he was the guy that every team wanted to fill their head coach vacancy. He was the hot guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's proving it why.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been very, very impressive.
Yep.
It's so interesting, speaking of the Bears, because the first thing you hear with, like, teams that are rebuilding or teams that are on the up and coming,
yeah,
they have to learn how to win.
Yeah.
And, like, they've had no problem. They've jumped over that. Like, they're winning all these close games.
Yeah.
So that's one of the biggest struggles you hear with every up and coming team, or, you know, a first year head coach who's trying to set the culture. It's like you hear it time and time again. We have to learn how to win.
Mm-hmm.
But they have not had to do that.
No. I mean,
Aaron Glenn said something similar yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
He mentioned, you know, they have to have a tough mental mindset and they have to learn how to win. You know, they're rebuilding. It is what it is. They were winning that game against the Ravens for probably a good quarter fully, you know, from the second quarter into the third.
Yeah.
And then they just, you know, the Ravens took it over.
Right.
But the Bears have not had that problem. And it's been really impressive.
Yeah, no, and whenever they are, you know, maybe facing a comeback situation, they've risen up to the test every single time. Caleb Williams has shined and done what he needed to do when the time calls for it to happen. So I'm impressed. Their offense has been rolling. Adunze, DJ Moore.
Yeah, DJ Moore had a great game yesterday.
Two touchdowns. And then Kyle Monungai, kind of solidifying that backup running back role,
yeah,
complimenting DeAndre Swift, and then Colston Loveland. I mean, that whole offense as a whole is rounding out very nicely in the way Ben Johnson envisions, I feel like.
Yep.
And I like what the Bears are doing. I really do.
Yeah, agreed.
Yep.
All right. They're going to make us look like fools on Friday.
Eagles are probably going to blow them up.
But what do they know?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's the show. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you all have a phenomenal Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We got three great games on Thanksgiving as well, that I'm excited about. Hope you guys enjoy the turkey, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.